Epilogue. A new chapter. The office was small and confined. Frost covered the corners of the glass windows due to the Minnesota winter. Nothing on the outside of the building signaled that the Brotherhood had set up shop in this location, except for Anastasia's keen sense of smell. She described it to Veronica as a bland odor mixed with human blood, deodorant, and surprisingly, ink and coffee. The aroma tingled her nose, like a sneeze that had not manifested itself yet. It was milder than the other smells of demon, vampires, and demons. It was also more pleasurable to inhale. The front door was unlocked, and it didn't take much force for Veronica to push it open. The sound of bells clinging echoed through the front room, signaling their entry. The waiting area was vacant. The red carpet brightened from underneath them, and a huge welcome sign nailed to the wall, surrounded by scenic pictures of Minnesota, seemed almost too much to bear. Veronica's eyes glowered over the room. Near the receptionist desk, a group of young researchers gathered around a computer, but their attention now focused on them.
"Lambs for slaughter," Anastasia uttered under her breath.
The researchers reacted to their sudden appearance by remaining quiet. Two males standing next to each other appeared less timid than the female, whose eyes focused on Anastasia. Veronica saw Kenneth seated at a gray desk behind them. She recognized him immediately and cleared her throat to get his attention. He looked up from his desk and smiled. He straightened his white buttoned shirt and khaki slacks and slowly stood up from his feet. Looking more like a businessman than a researcher, he approached her and held out his hand.
"Veronica?"
Her eyes scanned him from head to toe. She still couldn't grasp the fact that he was now region leader of the Midwest Division. It made her sick, and she wanted nothing more than for Anastasia to rip his throat out, but she wasn't here for that. She just wanted to give her father a message.
"You're going to get them killed," she pointed to the researchers. Kenneth lowered his hand. "I don't think that concerns you."
His eyes drifted to Anastasia, who stood a step behind her. Anastasia kept herself busy by slowly opening her mouth, with her fangs extended as she took in the scent of the humans around her.
"Don't you think you're disrespecting your mother's image? You're now running around with them. You're living with them."
Veronica turned her head slightly to the researchers. Their posture now changed. They stood erect with their shoulders back and head slightly tilted up. They masked their fear by their non-fearful stance. Yet in their eyes, Veronica still saw their fear of Anastasia.
"My father disrespected my mother's image, but I'm not here to argue about that."
"Well, why are you here?"
"I have a message for my father. Tell him I know."
"Know what?"
"Tell him." She took a deep breath. "I'll never forgive him for what the Brotherhood did to my mother."
"Your mother overstepped her bounds," he replied. "She knew the risk that came with the job."
Anastasia rushed forward, grabbing him by his collar. Veronica jumped slightly at her unexpected movement, and the researchers gasped. She slammed him onto his desk, pinning him by his shoulders. She leaned over him with her mouth opened and her fangs fully extended.
"And what about Lucius?"
She sniffed his face, then growled ferociously.
"You don't scare me," Kenneth replied.
Anastasia cocked her head to the side.
"I sense different."
Her teeth slowly retracted. She let go of his collar and slowly backed away from him. "Tell my father to not come looking for me," Veronica said. She turned and walked back to the front door.
"You're turning your back on your family."
He rubbed his throat and lifted himself from his desk.
"Like it or not, we're your family, Veronica. Not goes demon."
Veronica opened the front door and waited to hear the bells clink before she spoke again. "Goodbye, Kenneth." She headed out into the sub-zero winds of Minnesota, followed by Anastasia.
Kenneth stood to his feet and straightened his shirt. His hands trembled slightly and he took a deep breath, trying to relax his body. He looked at the researchers,
who remained still in their position. Now their eyes were on him and his next movement.
"Get back to work," he blurted out.
He placed his hands on his hips and took another deep breath. "I'm going in the back," he said. "If they come back, ring for help."
He headed toward the back room. He continued to catch his breath, realizing how close he had been to death. It felt exhilarating. He stopped in front of a black door and wiped the sweat from his brow. He looked himself over again, making sure that his clothing wasn't scrunched or ripped. He lifted his arms to check if the sweat under his armpits moistened his shirt. He knocked gently and turned the knob, pushing the door open. Samuel Austin sat on a 2-seat leather couch with his legs crossed and his pipe dangling from the right corner of his mouth. He exchanged a warm smile with Kenneth, but upon noticing the sweat dripping down his forehead, his smile changed to concern.
"You had company?" Mr. Austin asked slowly.
A half-cocked smile appeared on Kenneth's face. He walked over to a long desk, waving off any assumption of his encounter. He didn't want the old man to worry. Instead, he wanted Mr. Austin to feel comfortable with his decision of making him region leader of the Midwest Division.
"Just your daughter, sir."
He leaned against the edge of the desk.
He began to fiddle around with the cluttered objects. Pens, pieces of papers, a stapler. His jumpy behavior drew Mr. Austin to grab onto the edge of the couch and lift himself slowly to his feet. Mr. Austin raised his hand before Kenneth could move to assist him. He then grabbed his cane and puffed on his pipe before walking toward him.
"Did she come to talk to me?" "Just a warning, sir. If you ask me, your daughter is all words. She brought that demon with her, too, just to make it look like she meant business." "Well," Mr. Austin puffed, "obviously she got her point across." He referred to Ken's rattling behavior.
Mr. Austin walked to a large 5-shelf bookcase at the opposite end of the wall. He remained quiet, examining the books stacked neatly against one another. Every book significant to the Brotherhood rested on the top 2 shelves, while anything else less important, magazines, and personal reading books on the other shelves.
"How long is this going to go on for?" Kenneth felt the question escaping his lips was wrong, and he immediately wanted to recant. "Plans have changed." Mr. Austin continued to admire the bookshelf. "I've told you that you have to be flexible if you eventually want to lead this organization."
He remained unsure, but nodded anyway, trusting Mr. Austin's plan, whatever it was. He didn't know the intricate details, but he knew just enough.
"But your daughter, sir." "My daughter is like her mother." Mr. Austin turned to face him, never backing down, never accepting the answers to her questions.
A female giggle exploded from the corner of the room. Kenneth stood up. He hadn't seen her before, and she seemed to appear out of nowhere.
He watched Celine standing in the corner, partially hidden in the shadows. He wasn't sure how long she'd been standing there, watching him ease his unnervousness. Mr. Austin didn't flinch when she giggled, nor did he seem surprised by her interruption.
He watched Celine standing in the corner, partially hidden in the shadows. He wasn't sure how long she'd been standing there, watching him ease his nervousness. Mr. Austin didn't flinch when she giggled, nor did he seem surprised by her interruption. Her tight hip-hugging jeans revealed her flat and smooth midsection. Her red hair nestled comfortably on her shoulders and slightly covered the outline of her breasts. She was barefoot, and her toes were painted with bright pink nail polish. She walked out of the shadows, moving her hips from side to side, her lips puckered and her eyes fixed on Kenneth. It was enough to make any man, demon or human, swoon. He also noticed that something was different about her. She looked renewed since the last time he'd seen her. Kenneth's infatuation with her first grew when she pinned Sean on the pool table at the bar located just down the street from Veronica's apartment.
That was a sight to see. He liked her style. She was cunning, and neither Lucius nor any of those damn demon knew what she was truly up to. But he did.
He's lusting after me.
She stood next to Mr. Austin, still keeping her licentious eyes at Kenneth.
No. Kenneth wiped his mind free from his thoughts. You worry too much. She flipped her long red hair to her back. The plane worked. Kai is out of the way.
But Lucius is not in limbo anymore, Kenneth added, thanks to you.
A last-minute decision that I had to make.
She shrugged her shoulders innocently. Besides, Lucius is no concern to you. How is breaking him free going to help us secure our spot in this city? Kenneth asked.
Bedimad have no choice but to obey us now, she answered. I am the ancient here.
Kenneth nodded unsurely and watched Mr. Austin nod to Celine's statement. Getting Kai dethroned was part of the plan. In his departure, Celine would take his place. Kenneth knew that the alliance between the Brotherhood and Celine would grow cold as soon as she thought she didn't need them anymore. Kenneth wasn't sure why Mr. Austin wanted to grow another demon alliance.
Why so uncertain? She snickered. Are you frightened?
I don't trust you. She slowly walked over to him and placed her cold hands on his chest.
It's okay to admit that you're afraid, she whispered in his right ear.
I'm just cautious. Startled, Kenneth moved away from her.
I'm also curious on the deal you made with Aminiris.
Mr. Austin grabbed firmly on the tip of his cane. She is like no other demon the Brotherhood has faced since its beginning.
That is because she's a pure one.
She sat on the edge of his desk and crossed her legs. Kenneth nodded, but still remained cautious. He couldn't explain the difference he saw in Celine that made any sense. Even her disposition, the way she replied regarding Lucius and Kai, seemed as if she didn't care.
She was hiding something. Mr. Austin stomped his cane on the ground to gather their attention.
We've managed to restart the Minnesota chapter, along with protecting my daughter, to the best of our ability.
He puffed on his pipe and released the smoke in a long, exalted breath.
Regardless of the change of plans, we're on the right path, and we hope that you keep your end of the deal, Celine.
You can be assured that I will. Mr. Austin pointed his finger at her.
Believe me when I say this. Any demon that attempts to harm my daughter will be met with brute force. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is going to happen to my baby girl.
The end.
This has been Demon Chronicles Number 1 by Isaiah Morrison, narrated by Isaiah Morrison. Thank you for listening.